What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae.
And we're super excited to hang out with you today. Before we jump into today's episode, I just wanted to kind of ask you some questions here, Danae. You just got back from a pretty epic trip. I didn't get to go, but it looked like pickleball paradise.
It literally was pickleball paradise.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so I was just at Club Med Cancun, and what's crazy is you guys, like, I went there last year for a little bit of a vacation trip, and they had four temporary pickleball courts. I think it was like taped over or lined over tennis courts, and they had temporary nets. But this year, it was only maybe like a year and a half later, they have 10 dedicated pickleball courts on the property, and the courts were filled every morning, like all 10 courts filled.
So the demand at this all-inclusive resort is going way up for
pickleball. Oh my gosh. It was just crazy to see, because like when we went, cause you went with me the first time, there were, I mean, we were like the only ones on there. I think we saw one other court being used.
Yeah, it's true. I think we went, was it in like October 2024?
Yeah.
And yeah, it was like four courts. October 2023.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you just went about a year and a half later, and massive growth.
And it was just really cool to see like the growth from about a year and a half. It just feels like it exploded on the resort and people just loved it. There are pickleball tournaments every day, and it's like the bracket's like big. Like literally they're probably using 8 out of 10 of those courts for just a tournament. And so like there was a singles tournament, there was doubles tournament, and me and my girlfriend, we went to just like hang out and have a little bit of a girls trip. We like could play with people. It felt like open play. Like you just walk up to people and people like are so willing to play with you. It was just such a cool resort and a really fun property. And it just made me like smile to think about how much the sport of pickleball has grown. It just was really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you guys are interested in checking kind of what the property looks like, right now, Danae is putting out some really cool content on all things pickleball, her Instagram page, as well as I think some other socials. So if you don't already follow Danae on all things pickleball, shameless plug, but go follow Danae on Instagram. And you can kind of see what the resort looked like. It, maybe it would be a fun future pickleball all-inclusive vacation for you.
Yeah, it was so fun. But yeah. I loved it.
I just wanted to kind of touch base about that because you came home like kind of raving about how much the sport is growing like in the resort world and how much fun you had. You described it like it was like an adult summer camp. Like there was like not just pickleball, but like other activities as well.
Yeah,
it was like cool. Volleyball, ping pong, you know, you went to the spa. It looked just as beautiful as I remembered.
So. Yeah, it was awesome. And again, just really cool to see how much the sport has grown. And it was cool. Like, I feel like I came back with so many new pickleball friends from all over. It was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So just wanted to touch base about that. But let's get into today's episode. We're going to talk a couple different things regarding paddles. So do you want to set us up with the first forum post we found?
Yeah. So I thought this was really interesting. This was posted by Connor Pardot, who runs the PPA Tour. If you're not familiar with that is, it's a professional pickleball tour. Connor Pardot runs it, and he posted something on the kitchen that I thought was really interesting. And his post says, "We are working on something really cool here at the PPA Tour, and it's called the Vintage Open." He says, "This fall, we'll be hosting a wood paddle tournament where every player, pro and amateur, will compete with wood paddles only. who's ready to take Mickleball back to its roots? Let me know what you think. So I wanted to bring this up because we've talked about this like as a interesting social experiment, like who, which pros would be the best or which pros would win if they all played with the same paddle?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think that there are people on both ends of the spectrum. There are people that think that paddle technology makes all the difference in the world. And then there's those people out there that kind of think like, oh, it's not really about the paddle. It's about the player. Power is generated from good timing and good mechanics. And other people, you know, think it has a lot to do with the paddle. So we have talked about this before. You know, what would the pro scene or even the amateur scene look like if everybody was using the same paddle? And we've also, you know, I think the reason that this would be maybe entertaining is just because of how rapidly paddle technology has grown over the past few years. Mm-hmm. I know that when we started playing pickleball, what was it, 2018, 2019, somewhere in there?
2019.
When we started playing pickleball, you know, tech just wasn't where it is today. And yeah, so we've seen the game change so much. I was explaining to somebody the other day at Rec Play just how much the game's changed because her and her boyfriend have just kind of gotten into pickleball. And, you know, was basically saying like when we first started playing, you know, we had to play a lot slower. You couldn't really speed the ball up as much.
You couldn't put spin on the ball like you can now. Like spin, I feel like, has made a massive jump from when we started.
And you couldn't really like speed the ball up off the bounce.
Because it was going to fly out because there's no spin on it.
Because when all four players are at the net, you know, it was basically just a lot of dinking and then waiting for the pop-up. But now, you know, you're seeing a lot of players like create offense off the bounce because there's so much more spin, so much more paddle technology. And then also you're seeing a lot more players really drive the ball from the baseline, you know, mm-hmm. like
even honestly midcourt. Yeah. You never used to see that.
I even saw a post the other day and like, I didn't even, or it may have been a video. I didn't even really watch it, but like the clickbait kind of title was like, is the third shot drop dead or is it over? Like, are we, you know, it's never like, in other words, like that used to be the only thing you could really do on your third mm-hmm. shot. The only way you could really get to the kitchen was dropping the ball. But now the game is getting much faster because people can rip the ball. They can hit as hard as they want and the ball will stay in. Mm-hmm. And also the ball's moving faster and it's dipping more.
Yeah.
So this tournament would be very interesting because Connor was calling it the Vintage Open.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like peeling the time, you know, turning the time clock back a little bit and seeing, you know, what would the game look like. And I think the points would be longer.
Yeah, it was funny. One of the top pros, I would call her, like, she was on the top of the podium when we started playing pickleball, but Lucy Kovalova commented on that post and she said, "Me and Simone are teaming up for this." And if you don't know who Simone Jardim is, she like was the GOAT before Anna Lee, of all women's pickleball. And it's funny that they were like, we're teaming up because they were kind of around when paddle tech was not there.
Honestly, teams like I would not want to play in this would be like Ben and Colin Johns because they like the slow game and they don't really miss.
Yeah. Simone obviously is another just killer.
I would not want to play the Newmans. I would say like,
oh my gosh,
like
the
Riley,
Newmans.
I would tell like, if this happens, if the wooden paddle thing happens, I would say Riley Newman needs to team up with Lindsay Newman.
Yeah.
Throwback that they, Riley and his sister used to play together a lot dominant. And they just like,
you couldn't do anything with
them.
They
get everything back.
Yeah, they're walls.
And, you know, I think that these teams that have really good defense and that don't make errors, you know, I think a wooden paddle tournament, you'd start to see...
Low-key Kyle Yates.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Kyle
Another
Yates.
Another OG.
Yeah, but like, yeah, some of these players... It doesn't mean that these players aren't still good. A lot of them are still top players, but players that were maybe at the top. And then, you know, I think you'd also see potentially some other players that are, you know, at the top now that weren't around would also you know, fare really well in this format. So I think it'd be interesting. It definitely, I didn't know this until you just read it. But I didn't know that he was also referring to the amateur scene as well.
Amateurs too. Yeah.
So like,
which is wild.
That would be interesting to see like how that would affect.
Dude, we should go play that since we grew with the sport.
I know. I feel like we were much better in amateurs. And then as paddles have increased in technology, it's like we're getting wiped out of tournaments.
We would just dominate
more frequently.
Slow pace.
Yeah, I feel like the increase in paddle tech hasn't been the best for our type of game because it's like we're definitely not having the same results we used to have.
We're stuck in
either that or we're just getting old. Maybe we're just getting old.
Yeah, maybe we're old.
But yeah, I think that would be fun.
So my question for you guys is, A, would you find watching that pro scene entertaining, all the pros using a wooden paddle? Like, would you watch that? And B, would you play in a tournament where you had to use a wooden paddle? I'm very curious.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I guess there would be the entertainment factor, but also like, would you play?
Would you play?
Yeah. I think I would try it.
I would totally would. Yeah. I think it would just be fun.
Yeah. That'd be fun. Okay. Well, yeah.
Real
guys.
Question is, does that go on your duper?
You have like a separate duper
for your
that actually is a whole nother conversation, but no, they're literally, I'm seeing a lot of people talking about recently how
it just opened a can of worms.
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of people talk about recently, just, you know,
kind of goes into our next one.
Yeah. How, you know, playing different, with different paddles or playing different events. Like I know that they're like starting to, I've heard that they're going to start rolling out like skinny singles tournaments more.
What?
And you're going to have an actual duper rating for skinny singles the same way that you would
Shut
have.
Up. No, is that real?
Yeah, for sure. No, pickleball.com is like integrating pickleball tournaments and pickleball brackets into pickleball.com. And they're like integrating it with duper. And there's a section for skinny singles for your duper rating. So anyways, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes of that. But yeah, this kind of segues into our next post. So let's move on, unless you have any other comments.
No.
Okay. So this next post comes from The Kitchen's Facebook page, which, shocker, you know, a lot of our forums that posts that we find are on The Kitchen or the Pickleball Forum or Reddit. But this guy said this, and he's talking about paddles. He said, So the TA-15, referring to the Mod Yola paddle, and the Gearbox Power Pro are banned as of July 1st for USAP tournaments. And Yola has discontinued the production of the TA-15 or the Mod. As a player using them, should they switch to a legal paddle before the banned date? And if they don't, and win medals, should there be an asterisk placed? So what he's saying what he's saying here is, you know, there are paddles that aren't technically banned until July,
but they're going to be banned and going to be illegal.
And so now the fact that we know that they're going to be banned, should you be able to play with them? Because I mean, I get why they're doing it, because they're letting these companies sell out of their stock, and you know, they can't just remove, you know, that would kind of really screw with the companies if they just took the, you know, paddles off the market immediately. But hey guys, real quick, I did just want to take a minute to mention Selkirk's newly released Court Strike and Court Strike Pro pickleball shoes. The reason I love these pickleball shoes so much is because they were specifically designed and engineered just for pickleball. Now, shoes I was kind of playing with in the past were made for tennis or other racket sports, or I even made the kind of amateur and rookie mistake for a while to play pickleball in tennis shoes. And honestly, that just didn't end well. So the fact that these shoes were so thoughtfully designed for pickleball, it was really comforting to me. Not only that, they're really comfortable out of the box, and they provide great lateral support for that lateral movement that we all need in pickleball. So if you're interested in getting yourself some of the new Court Strike or Court Strike Pro pickleball shoes, head over to Selkirk.com and get your favorite color in your size today. Knowing that they're going to be banned, they're pretty much saying that they're illegal. So if you are winning tournaments with these paddles that are already set to be banned, even though it's not July 1st yet, like, should there be an asterisk next to your win? I mean, what do you think?
I mean, it's interesting. Shoot, this is going to get me in trouble.
No, go for it. I mean, just tell us what you think.
I do think, like, kind of, maybe.
Like, kind of, there should be an asterisk.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, you're playing with something that was determined illegal.
Dang, I want a revision from my latest tournament results then.
Same. Again, I'm like, that's going to get me in trouble. People are going to be mad about that. But whatever, that's actually what I think. What is it in other sports? Isn't that like what it was in baseball? Isn't there an asterisk with people that had certain bats? Or am I crazy?
You know, I don't want to speak out of context. I'm not 100% sure, but I do know that it's not necessarily an asterisk as much as it's kind of like a mental like asterisk, you know, like in the sense that like, it's not like, I don't know if you go back and look at the stats.
That's what I'm wondering.
If they have asterisks by them or if people just kind of know like, oh, that year was the juiced bat year, or the juiced ball year. So okay. it kind of makes the stats less,
okay,
you know,
well,
credible.
I'll retract my statement then.
But I don't know, actually. I could be wrong. There could actually be an asterisk.
This
by
is
stuff.
My thought.
I'm not really sure.
This is my thought. If there is an asterisk like this in other sports, then I think it should come to pickleball. If it's not, if it's like a mental thing, then no. I don't think pickleball should invent the asterisks over wins.
I think the hard thing about the asterisks is like, okay, so like, when do you start?
Well, exactly. Nobody's going to go back and be like, ooh, I was playing with an illegal paddle. I'm going to like self-report myself.
Well, no, I'm like, but at what point when the tech got so, you know, it's not even that it's advanced tech. And honestly, guys, you guys need to probably know that. These paddles that they're making. Yeah,
explain this.
These paddles that Yola and Gearbox and these paddles that they're making, it's not that the tech is super advanced. It's very easy. I can go to China or Alibaba or whatever, and I can go to a manufacturer and I can have them inject foam into these paddles in a certain way. And the reason that they perform the way that they do is because they're designed to fail. So these paddles mm-hmm. These cores are designed to crush and to fail ultimately and to get more crushed over time and more poppy over time. And that's an issue, you know? So it's not like the tech is like super advanced. It's that they're products that are designed to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Yeah. Anyways, going back to it, like it's not that the tech is overly advanced, but these paddles, like at what point did these paddles start really affecting potentially results and not just results, but also, I guess, the difference or I don't know how to put this, but it created this big gap between play, like the style of play. At what point did that happen? So it's like, you can go back and put an asterisk there, but it's like you don't really know when that.
You can't.
So that's the issue.
I'm going to read a couple comments of people saying.
Unless, I would say, hold on really quick before you read the comments. Unless they just went back and they started it and like a hard cutoff date was like 2025.
Right.
You know, I guess that's where they
maybe that. Exactly. I agree, though. I don't think you can go back and.
Like determine when did.
Yeah, no.
When did this happen?
I don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
So some of the comments, this person says, why would you stop using it when your opponents are still using it? I personally can't wait until July 1st, but I can't fault anyone for using it as so many competitors are still going to use it against them. I mean, I get that. I get that standpoint.
Yeah. And I think the other issue there, I mean, it just gets into a bit of these kind of blurred lines because these paddles aren't approved, but there are paddles that are very similar in tech that are approved.
1,000%.
So if they stop using them, I guess they could go out and get one of these comparable paddles maybe. But at the same time, there are a lot of paddles that are just, you know, unfortunately, this has really, again, kind of created these weird gaps in the way that pickleball is being played and play in skill levels. Although on this post, there's also a guy on here that says, I think the paddle doesn't matter as much as people say. And he says it's power's generated from good swing mechanics.
I'm not saying he's completely wrong.
Yeah, I think power's honestly generated by hitting the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the sweet spot's very underrated. I think people think this paddle's, some of these paddles aren't very popular, but they're not really squaring the ball up. I'm sorry, they think these paddles aren't really poppy, but they're not really squaring the ball up. But again, I think the tech and the, again, not the tech. I keep saying the tech. I think
I know what you're trying to say.
You know, these core crushing paddles are the trampoline effect is real.
Yeah. This person says, I have no dog in the fight, but if it's going to be illegal as of July 1st and it's the same paddle, you're using it today, shouldn't it just be illegal now?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I'm like, we should have just maybe scooted that date up, but I think for business reasons and probably business interests, you know, they're not.
This person says a lot of people used them at a local tournament last week. My guess is they wouldn't be able to medal as high or at all without their mod. Just a comment. Don't come at us.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the deal. I will say, you know, to anyone who is switching paddles, it does stink to have to switch a paddle. Like, it stinks to have to go through the learning curve of learning a new paddle. So I feel for people that, you know, got used to the mod that are having to now switch because it takes a minute.
Yeah, it does. And I think ultimately this is going to be good for the game.
Yeah.
But at the same point to what you're saying, I think this isn't talked about enough. But there really is a break-in time when you get a new paddle. I think a lot of people, they pick a paddle up and they decide within 5 to 10 minutes if they like it. You really are bad at that.
I know. I like to do that.
Like, you'll hit three drops or three drives and you'll say, I hate it. No, but I think this is not talked about enough.
No, it's not. And I'm getting better.
Yeah, you are. You're committing to this paddle you're using now, and I think you're starting to like it more. And I think that's not talked about enough, that of course people pick up these mods. They have this trampoline effect, this core crushing effect, and it's this different kind of effortless power. And people like them like right off the out the gate, but like there's a lot of downside to them too.
Yeah.
Like, try to, if you take the same swing on your return, for example, on one of these trampoline effect paddles, the ball's probably going to fly way out. You know, you have to kind of change and adapt. But I do think there is a break-in time for paddles. And people that are listening to this, just do this. The next time you get a paddle, do not decide on if you like it or not unless you've played with it for, I want to say, 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, multiple days, 2 to 3 weeks.
And going back to these specifically core crushing paddles, these paddles that were literally designed to eventually break down, like, to me, they're like avocados. They have like a short ripe period. Like, you have to catch them in the short ripe period, because once they get delaminated, they're shotguns.
Yeah, I was literally talking, I was literally at the courts a couple days ago, and this guy was trying to buy one of these hot paddles off of another guy, and he had a tournament coming up, and the guy that was selling the paddle literally said, I can sell you this, but don't use it until the day before your tournament or the tournament, because he said if you hit with it for a week or two before the tournament, it might not pass.
And this
guy, you know, is playing like a low level, he's like a low level pro for seniors. So they are testing paddles.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, well, that's such an interesting thing that we've gotten to that point in pickleball where you're like, oh, I can't use this paddle.
Yeah.
Because it could break down more.
Yep.
And then it will be deemed illegal. And this is exactly why the pros have to take 10 paddles to the tournaments.
Now, this is where I want to give a
only one of them will pass.
Yeah, this is where I want to give a huge shout out to Selkirk, because when we went to and visited Quarter Lane, their headquarters, this was like a huge thing that they talked about. And Selkirk specifically, this is one of the reasons why I love this company so much. And they do not pay me to like say that. Like, that's out of my own opinion, my own free will. Like, I love this company so much because they're so integrous. And they said, we are not going to release a paddle that's designed to fail. Like, they said, we're not going to do it. We want all of our paddles to like hold up and play how they were made to play from start to finish. We're not going to, you know, play off of the fact that a core crushing paddle only lasts you a month and you have to buy a new one. And so that is literally one of my favorite things about this company, is that they are very against that mentality for consumers.
Yeah. And I was really, it was really eye-opening to me, like you said, when we went to Coeur d'Alene, when they talked about how they literally will go through thousands of tests mm-hmm. for one paddle, for one release. And they'll decide upon this particular model based off of not just performance and play, but also durability and, you know, how long will this paddle last? What will it look like as it starts to break down? I'm like, oh, this is very thoughtful what they're doing. Yeah. They're not just going to release something. And I was actually talking to another guy at Rec Play, and he was like kind of explaining that to him. And he was like, oh, I really appreciate that. Like, I want a paddle that's going to last, mm-hmm. that's not going to break down. You know? So I think that, yeah, big shout out to Selkirk for that.
Huge shout out to Selkirk. And just, again, a warning, if you are playing with one of these core crushing paddles, just know it's a freaking avocado. That thing's going to just be ripe for a certain amount of time, and it's going to go bad. And when it goes bad, it's very hard to control.
Yeah.
Very, and not fun to play with, honestly.
Very hard to control. And they're going to start getting banned. So you're gonna have to get used to something else. Anyways, that's our
rant.
That's our two cents. But like we mentioned earlier, we also understand like there is something fun about them, that they do feel good to an extent. And maybe it takes time and I've gotten used to it, you know, but just like, you know, for the sake of the sport, we can start getting used to maybe some other things. I don't know.
Thanks for coming to our TED Talk.
You can clearly see where we stand on this. But I also, again, I'm also not anti, you know.
We'll play with whoever's on the court with us.
Yeah. It's fun. It's all good. All right. Well, I don't know if I have anything else, but
get us off this mic.
Let us know in the comments what you think about kind of what we've been talking about in regards to paddles and, you know, should there be an asterisk by your wins if you're playing with these paddles that are already set to be delisted in July. If there's anything you guys want us to cover on a future podcast, let us know that, or any questions that you have, be sure to submit those. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you on the next episode.